engaging sermons on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
A reading from the book of Deuteronomy. Moses said to the people, "You are a people sacred to the Lord your God. He has chosen you from all the nations on the face of the earth to be a people peculiarly his own. It was not because you are the largest of all nations that the Lord set his heart on you and chose you, for you are really the smallest of all nations. It was because the Lord loved you, and because of his fidelity to the oath he had sworn to your fathers, that he brought you out with his strong hand from the place of slavery and ransomed you from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Understand then that the Lord your God is God indeed, the faithful God who keeps his merciful covenant down to the thousandth generation toward those who love him and keep his commandments, but who repays with destruction a person who hates him. He does not dally with such a one, but makes them personally pay for it. You shall therefore carefully observe the commandments, the statutes, and the decrees that I enjoin on you today." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord's kindness is everlasting to those who fear him.
The Lord's kindness is everlasting to those who fear him.
Bless the Lord, O my soul. All my being bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits.
The Lord's kindness is everlasting to those who fear him.
He pardons all your iniquities. He heals all your ills. He redeems your life from destruction, crowns you with kindness and compassion.
The Lord's kindness is everlasting to those who fear him.
Merciful and gracious is the Lord, slow to anger and abounding in kindness. Not according to our sins does he deal with us, nor does he requite us according to our crimes.
The Lord's kindness is everlasting to those who fear him.
A reading from the first letter of St. John. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is of God. Everyone who loves is begotten by God and knows God. Whoever is without love does not know God, for God is love. In this way, the love of God was revealed to us. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might have life through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he has loved us and sent his Son as an expiation for our sins. Beloved, if God has so loved us, we also must love one another. No one has ever seen God, yet if we love one another, God remains in us, and his love is brought to perfection in us. This is how we know that we remain in him and he in us, that he has given us of his Spirit. Moreover, we have seen and testify that the Father sent his Son as Savior of the world. Whoever acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God remains in him and he in God. We have come to know and to believe in the love God has for us. God is love, and whoever remains in love remains in God, and God in him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Take my yoke upon you, says the Lord, and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
At that time, Jesus exclaimed, "I give praise to you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for although you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, you have revealed them to little ones. Yes, Father, such has been your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wishes to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart, and you will find rest for yourselves, for my yoke is easy and my burden light. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Lord Jesus Christ.
We worship the heart of Jesus Christ, the Sacred Heart. We worship him. It is sacred because he is God. This is a divine heart. And yet it's a heart. It's a physical heart. It's a human heart because he has a human nature. By the incarnation, he took a human body and a human soul as his own. When he created your body and soul, he said, this is yours. He created my body and soul. He said, this is yours. At the incarnation, he creates a human body, including a heart and a human soul. And he says, this is mine. One divine person, two natures, divine and human. So his humanity is divinized. His humanity is divine, and that's how we come, we worship the heart. And the heart, of course, so significant, the biblical passages we just heard making reference to the heart as the symbol of love. And God is love. This is his very nature. A love which chooses us from all eternity. Moses made that clear to the people in this first reading from Deuteronomy. What a great phrase here in the scriptures. The Lord set his heart on you and chose you. The Lord set his heart on you. When you see the image of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, when you hear that term, first and foremost, remember it is a heart for you, and it's been set on you from all eternity. Nothing can change God's love for you, and it's infinite. He loves you as much as he would if you were the only person that he loved. Nothing gets diminished by the number of people that God loves in his love for each one of us individually. He set his heart on you and chose you. And here's where I want to reflect a little bit about the connections between our worship of the Sacred Heart, our acknowledgement of God's love for us, and our commitment to defend our youngest brothers and sisters, the children in the womb. Because often their lives are taken under the rubric of choice. Oh, this is freedom of choice. We can abort the baby. But Scripture shows us it's God's choice that comes first. The Lord set his heart on you and chose you. Chose whom? Every human life. His love, first of all, is universal. So what the Sacred Heart of Jesus tells us first and foremost is he chose us and he loved us, each and every one of us, born and unborn, from all eternity. So who are we to say different? Who are we to unchoose someone from life? Who are we to unchoose someone from love? Who are we to unchoose someone from the human community or from our responsibility to guard and respect and protect? Who are we? God made the choice from all eternity for each and every individual human life. The only reason a human life comes to be in the first place, including those tiny children yet in the womb, is that it is the choice of God. The Lord set his heart on you and chose you. His choice comes before ours. Sure, he gives us the gift of freedom. Sure, he gives us choice. But he gives us choice in order to exercise it in union with his will and to choose what is good. He doesn't give us choice to use it as a pretext to do evil or to take life. The second thing about the heart of Jesus, and we referred to it already, is that it's physical. And the reason that's important in this whole consideration of pro-life is that we sometimes, especially in our culture now, forget about the significance of the human body. You are not just the spirit, you are not just the soul using the body, you are a body. You are as much the body of your soul as you are the soul of your body. And so it is with the baby in the womb. The body cannot be just destroyed and thrown in the garbage. That's an attack on the person. The body is sacred, must be respected from the very first instant that it becomes a body. And this is what the Sacred Heart reminds us of as well. Were the body not important, the heart would not be important, and we wouldn't be having this feast. We wouldn't be worshiping and adoring the heart of Jesus. Furthermore, we look at the heart and we see the flame of love, and we heard in the second reading today in John's Gospel the meaning of love. It's that God sacrificed himself for us. The Father sent the Son. The Son was obedient even unto death. That's love. I sacrifice myself for the good of the other person. Mother Teresa would always say, and I had the privilege of knowing her and talking with her frequently, that we end abortion by teaching the mother how to love, the father too, to give themselves, to sacrifice their plans and their desires and their priority for the child. There's love. Shown in Jesus sacrificing himself on the cross, shown in the sacrifices we make for one another, including the sacrifices parents make for their children, especially when perhaps those children may be a surprise or may come at a time that is not convenient. Nevertheless, we sacrifice ourselves for the good of the other person. That's the very definition of love, flowing from the cross, symbolized in the heart of Jesus. The opposite of love is when we sacrifice the other person for the good of ourselves. There is no such thing as an abortion done in a loving way, because it is intrinsically contrary to love. It's intrinsically the opposite of love. Love says, I sacrifice myself for the good of the other person. Abortion says, I sacrifice the other person for the good of myself. And that good of yourself never ends up coming, because it's never good for you to push someone else out of the way or to kill a child. Then in that heart, we see the symbol of the crown of thorns, a reminder that we who love, and particularly we who love the unborn, will be rejected like they are. Defend the unborn, you will become like them. Others will try to make you invisible, say you don't count for anything, reject you, and cause suffering. Love causes the one who loves to endure suffering, and that crown of thorns, it is a crown, because in the suffering there is glory, and we know the call that we have to bear it joyfully, to bear suffering, to consider ourselves worthy, as the apostles did. We read in the Acts of the Apostles, they counted themselves worthy. They rejoiced that they were worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. And in all of this, the sacrifices we have to make to welcome and protect these children, to welcome and protect one another in every way, is really a burden that, as Jesus says in the gospel, is light. The devil tries to make us think it's a heavy burden. Oh, you can't have this child now. But Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. First of all, because he is there to carry it with us. And secondly, because we were made according to God's word. We were actually made according to the very law that we are asked to obey. When we are asked to obey the law of God, we're not trying to put a square peg in a round hole. Rather, we're trying to conform ourselves to something that fits perfectly with everything about us. Our very happiness, our fulfillment is found in observing the very word that was spoken and we were created. So to give ourselves away for our children, to stand up for what is right and what is just, to protect the weak and the vulnerable, this is a yoke that we have to bear, because there's a lot of opposition to it, but it is a much easier yoke to bear than the yoke, the burden the terrible anguish of doing evil, of killing another person, of aborting a baby. And that's where we conclude these reflections, because the heart of Jesus is the heart of mercy, forgiveness of our sins. There are many who bear the burden today, carrying that burden of having aborted their children. There are many who there are many fathers. We're about to celebrate Father's Day, and we remember this in a particular way. There are many fathers who are carrying the burden of having pushed for an abortion, or having abandoned that mom and that baby at a time when they could have been supportive. And thanks to them, the abortion happened. There are many grandparents suffering the pain of abortion. Maybe they pushed their son or their daughter to get out of that unplanned situation. I've seen grandparents of aborted babies literally dragging their daughter into that abortion facility. They have anguish today. They suffer the burden that we were not made to bear. We were not created in order to do this, to carry the burden of having had our grandchild killed. But the mercy of Jesus is there for you, grandparents, for you dads and moms, for you friends. Friends who have taken their friends to an abortion facility, have suggested it to them, have gotten the phone number and the address, have made the appointment, have driven them there, have helped them pay for it. That's a great burden to bear too. Terrible burden. I helped my friend kill her baby, and then you see the grief and the pain on the face and in the heart of that friend for life. We need the Sacred Heart of Jesus to wash us clean of all this guilt. And then there are the abortionists themselves. I have helped many of them to find peace and to find mercy in the heart of Jesus after having spent a career killing babies. We're not made for that. This is one of the reasons why there's such a high turnover of staff in the abortion industry. We're not made to kill babies. And these men and women carry a tremendous burden, and they need the heart of Jesus. They need the mercy of Christ, and that mercy of Christ is there for them. We've had the privilege to bring many such people through the steps of healing and forgiveness. There's a whole group, an international society of people that have once committed abortions as doctors and nurses and technicians. It's called the Society of Centurions. Because the centurion who was there at the cross saw how Jesus died, participated in that death, and pierced his heart, from which blood and water flowed out, the fountain of sacramental life in the church, reminding us of the waters of baptism and rebirth and the blood that we receive in the Eucharist. That centurion at that moment converted and said, surely this was an innocent man. Surely this was the Son of God. And so many people who have been involved in the abortion industry likewise have come to the point where they look at these babies and say, surely these were innocent children. We are sorry. And when we express that sorrow, we take refuge in the heart of Christ. One of the greatest movements that is proclaiming the mercy of Christ, showing the heart of Jesus, is the Silent No More campaign, where men and women and siblings and friends and parents and grandparents and abortionists too are sharing their story of how they found the heart of Christ, how they found the mercy of the Savior. Silent No More, a campaign worldwide of which I'm privileged to be the pastoral director. It's a joint project of Priests for Life and Anglicans for Life. My goodness, how the world needs that testimony of those who have found this mercy. So honoring, worshiping, in fact, the heart of Jesus is not just something symbolic. It's not just a feast day. This is a lived reality day by day across the globe, and how much the human family needs it. That people can stand up and say, I am no longer cast down under the burden of despair and the darkness of sin, but I am standing in the light of the Savior, in the love of His Sacred Heart. Let that be the way we celebrate this today. Leave your sins in the past. God, as far as the east is from the west, The psalmist says, so far has God removed our sins from us, as far as the east is from the west. Scripture says he casts our sins into the depths of the sea. And one preacher said, and then he puts up a sign that says, no fishing. Let those sins go away in the ocean of his mercy. Be not burdened by them anymore. Yes, learn the lesson that they give you about not to trust in yourself or in the deceitful lure of temptation, but rather only in God and in his word. But know that the past is the past. Not even God can change the past. The past is the past. Leave the sins there. Be not burdened anymore, because we are living in the heart of Jesus. We are living in that heart, the heart that chose us from all eternity, the heart whose choice is more important than anyone else's choice, the heart indeed that will be revealed to us in eternity when we will share a joy that never ends. Sacred Heart of Jesus, we trust in you. Pour out your mercy and your life upon us and upon the whole world. Amen.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.